Well, good morning, everyone. I know you're disappointed, right? I just know it. Everyone on Facebook has dropped off right now. It's that guy again. Well, hang on. I'm Todd McMitchin. I'm one of you. I normally sit right back over there in this service, and I'm really grateful when Pastor Jeff asked me to speak. I have a lot of fun doing this, and I'm glad every time he asks. But I feel like I need to owe you an update on my tooth story, right? So if you were here back in the spring when I spoke, most people did not realize it. The tech team realized it, but during my prayer, my front tooth came flying out of my mouth. I mean, flying out of my mouth with my eyes closed in the middle of the prayer, I caught the tooth, said amen, walked off the stage. And that's how that went. It went viral for a day or so. Everyone was huddled around their computers watching this event happen back in the spring. You can't go back and see it. The staff took it off of the site. And then I got to speak in the summer. And so when I came to the summer, my tooth still had not been fixed, and it was loose, and we were on tooth alert for the entire talk. It stayed intact, and here I am now. I still do not have a fixed tooth. Now, my dentist says if I'm a good boy, I'll get a new front tooth by Christmas, but I'm not holding my breath on that. It is kind of temporarily, permanently in. We're not going to have an episode today. I'm sorry, all middle school boys who are on the edge of your seat that you might see a tooth come flying out from the stage today. But that's not going to happen. But what I thought I would do today is tell you another story. I want to tell you my story. Whenever Pastor Jeff asks me to speak, he's always in the middle of a series, and he gives me a topic and asks me just to go on that topic. But today he gave me free rein. And so what I thought I would do is introduce myself. And how does a guy like you end up standing up here a couple times a year having kind of the time of his life? Well, let me back up and start when I was in high school. And this is not going to be a long story, so don't panic about that. But when I was in high school, my senior year of high school, I don't know how we would talk about it today, but back then, this is what we said, and this is how I articulated it. Was as I was graduating high school, I felt like there was a call on my life to do this job permanently as a full-time career vocation. Like, that's just how you talked about it. And I wasn't necessarily raised in church, like many of you kids are having the amazing privilege of being raised in church. And so when I spoke about that in my public high school, it was kind of like people were looking at me a little strange, like they didn't know that was part of my life all of a sudden. And they kind of assumed that I was going to be a Catholic priest, and so there was always these awkward conversations that you had to have about what that meant. And so I graduated high school, and I went off to college. I have a degree in Bible and philosophy and biblical languages. I then went off to seminary, and I have a master's degree in divinity. And then I went 15 years as professional, vocational, full-time pastor. And I was always in very large congregations, having amazing jobs, doing an amazing work. All of my seminary friends would have been envious of the place that I had and what I was doing and all that I had been able to achieve, and I was absolutely miserable. Miserable. And so every day for 15 years, and I'm not exaggerating, when my alarm clock would go off in the morning, somewhere between my feet hitting the floor and getting in the shower, this statement would roll through my head. Today's the day you're going to walk in and quit. Today's the day you're going to walk away from all of this. But when you describe your career as something that you feel called to for a lifetime, and you have these undergraduate and graduate degrees that you've invested in that are utterly useless in the real world, and you have this sense of high moral code about what you do for others in society and even in a local church like this, and yet you hate it. I mean, you hate it as a job. It was a lot for me to work through for 15 years with that kind of weight. My sweet, supportive wife, full-time mom, two young kids, always told me, just quit. Like, I had all the signs of stress, right? Not being able to sleep, stomach issues for 15 years. Like, this is a true story. When I got home from church on Sunday evening, every Sunday evening, week after week, year after year, I would get a massive headache from all of the weekend activities and stress and go right to bed. Every Sunday, every week, 15 years. So finally, my wife says, just quit. We'll figure out how to make it. You can go get a job at Home Depot if you need to. Well, love all of you at Home Depot. But I only know how to use two tools. That would be duct tape and super glue. So like anything else, not gonna work. My wife was a full-time stay-at-home mom with two kids in elementary school. And so one day I walked in and I resigned with nowhere to go. And I came home and I can still remember it. It was in February, standing in the dining room that we've lived in for 23 years, looking out the window in my neighborhood, completely unemployed, but I felt alive for the first time in my life. I had no idea that would be the experience. So I walked in out in the world of becoming an entrepreneur. I kind of tell people I've lived a side hustle life for 23 years, and it's been absolutely amazing. I do coaching and consulting and strategic planning from small business owners all the way to nonprofits and churches, and that's what I do for a living. But now back to the story. It's 2002. And now it's Monday, and I'm one of you. And so I have to decide, am I going to have a quiet time? Because like I'm not paid to do it anymore. Am I going to go to church on Sunday? Because I'm not paid to do it anymore. And all of a sudden, the Bible changed for me. And I started seeing stories I'd never seen before. And they were people like me who were in the business community trying to figure out their life and their family and their spirituality. And today I'm going to take you on that journey. So it's really a talk from the 12th man's perspective. I don't know if you're familiar with the 12th man story. I suppose you are. SEC territory, right? Back in the 1980s, Texas A&M coach decided he was going to put all non-scholarship players on the kickoff team. That he would hold tryouts. He thought he could find 10 crazy people that would run as fast as they could, have reckless abandon with their bodies, and they could stop the kickoff. And it worked. And for years, they were in the top five, even leading the nation in kickoff return coverage. And then recently, even about probably 8 or 9 days ago, they did it one more time. Maybe you saw the clips across the TV. They actually had 10 non-scholarship players cover the kickoff and created a fumble. So this is really a talk from one of you, the 12th man, to one of us. And I'm going to take you on a journey, and I hope it'll be inspiring and encouraging to you today. I'm going to ask you three questions, but I'm not going to give you any answers. We'll title it Three Big Questions That Only You Know the Answer To, and then I'll walk off the stage and we'll figure out tomorrow. All right? You with me? You with me? Yes. There you go. Let's go. Tooth in place. Let's read the very first text together. I want to talk about Abraham for just a moment. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go from your land and your relatives and your father's house to the land that I'm going to show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'm going to come back to that part in a few minutes. Hold on to the fact that Abraham was given this promise that he would become a great nation and God was going to bless the world through him. But this is where I want to lock in. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now pay attention to what happens. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan when they came to the land of Canaan. Now, what's that all about? You know the song, right? Father Abraham. Right? You got it. How in the world do you get a Bible song written about you thousands of years later? Like, what did the dude do? Here's what he did. He owned a business. He was a very successful businessman. He did not have any kids, so he was mobile. Back in that day, your kids worked for you. But because he didn't have any kids, who did he get to work for him? Lot, his nephew. So God comes to Abraham and tells him this, Abraham, I got to get somebody to move from where they are to the land that I'm going to work a promise through. It would one day be called the land of Canaan. It would one day be called the land of promise. It would one day be called the land flowing with milk and honey. It would one day be called the land of the nation of Israel. But right now, Abraham, the only thing I need you to be concerned about is I need someone to move there. Are you willing to move? So when you read the story of Abraham, you're not going to find that he was a priest or a prophet. You're going to find out that he was actually a small business owner that was really successful, that had mobility, could move his resources, and so God said, I need you to do something for me. Are you willing to move? That's it. Are you willing to move? Well, let's travel through Abraham's story. Abraham has a son by the name of Isaac. Isaac has a son by the name of Jacob. Jacob changes his name to Israel. He has 12 boys who we will later know in the Bible story as the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. So if you're tracking the story, it wasn't Abraham that the Bible is about. It wasn't Isaac. It wasn't Jacob. It's not until we get to the great grandchildren of this one guy that the book of Exodus, the second book in the Bible, takes off, and the entire rest of the story is how God wants to work through that nation that we read about that began with Abraham's great grandchildren and travels all the way through to the book of Revelation. So Abraham's role was to own a business, don't have deep roots with kids yet, and are you willing to move? Now, if you look at Abraham's story, it goes from Genesis 12 to Genesis 24, and here's what Abraham experienced. He moved. When he got there, there was a drought, so he had to move again to Egypt. Then he moved back because the drought was over. He had some business conflicts with his nephew Lot, which meant he had family conflicts. He tried to start a family the wrong way with his maid. Then he started the family the right way with his wife. Like, that was his life. That's the story. That's Abraham's story, and that's how you get a song about you they sing in Vacation Bible School thousands of years later. It's basically the story of everyone that lives on your street, minus hopefully having a baby with the maid. You moved. You started your career. You started your family. Let's go back. Abraham, small business owner in the agricultural business. His son Isaac inherits the agricultural business. Isaac's son Jacob goes off and is a farmhand for another gentleman, then comes back and inherits his business from Isaac. Jacob has 12 sons. You know one of them by the name of Joseph because he had a famous what? Famous coat, and he was a dreamer. He was also sold as a slave, so he became a servant in the king of Egypt's house and rose to become the manager of Egyptian political resources. The next person you know about is Moses. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and was raised in the Egyptian courts. Still haven't had a prophet or a priest yet in these big Bible stories. The next one you know is David. David was a shepherd boy, then he was a musician, then he was a military leader for the king, and then he became king. David was so successful as a military leader and king that when it became time for the first temple to ever be built, David said, "There's too much blood on my hands because of my job. I can't build God the temple. Somebody else will. But I'm going to pay for it." And then he went to the 12th man, all the Israelites, and he said, "You can help me pay for it too." And David said, "I'm not even going to give out of the kingdom's treasury." The Bible says David said, "I'm going to give out of my own personal treasury, that I'm going to lead with my generosity. I'm going to ask the people of God to lead with their generosity. And together, someone else is going to build this temple." So I say all of that back in my story, having a Bible undergraduate degree, a biblical languages degree. I can read this in Greek and Hebrew and all those fun things. I have a master's degree. All of a sudden now, I've learned, oh, wait. Abraham was a business guy like you. Oh, wait. Like, all these characters are business people. All of them. So let me share this with you. The work of God travels through marketplace people. If our perspective is when we come here on Sunday, we're cheering the stage on, it's in reverse. The stage is cheering us on. And while I can't prove this, I think I'm right. I think if you would write down every Bible name that you know from one great Bible story that you know, and you would make a column, these are all the people who were priests and prophets, and these are all the people that weren't, I bet you 75% of the people that weren't are going to be on your mind. So here's the first big question. You ready? Why not you? Why not me? Like Abraham's job, he owned a business, moved his family, started a family. It's basically the story of your cul-de-sac. Why not me? Let's go to the next passage. You ready? Now let's read about this blessing of a nation. It says this: Now if you faithfully obey the Lord your God and you are careful to follow all of his commands I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will put you far above all the nations on the earth. Now let me stop for just a moment. When I think about God, it's not hard for me to consume that God wants me to believe him and obey him. I get that. That's what God should be about. Like, I'm the created one, you're the creator, minimum standard, I believe in you and I obey and follow you. I don't have a conception for a God that's about to do this. This one doesn't fit inside my box. All these blessings will come and, what does it say? Overtake you. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by work? You ever felt overwhelmed by life? God says, if you believe me and follow me, my blessings will what? Overtake you. Because you obey the Lord your God, you'll be blessed in the city and blessed where? In the country. When you go to work tomorrow, downtown, you'll be blessed. When you go to the lake house, you'll be blessed. When you go to the beach, you'll be blessed. Like, the blessings of God are intended to overtake us. And if we didn't get it, let's see what else he says. Let's move on. Your offspring will be blessed. You want your kids blessed? Your land's produce, their jobs, these were farmers. Your land's produce, your product is going to be blessed. And the offspring of your livestock. Oh, so you mean my future? Like, it's not just this cattle, but it's the next generation and the next and the next. Like, my career is secure in you? Including the young of your herd and the newborn of your flocks. Your basket and kneading bowl will be blessed. The stuff you got in your house. Todd, when you quit your job and you had nowhere to go and your wife was a stay-at-home mom, I got your career. That useless degree, I got you. I got your family. I got what you need. Just go. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Anybody want to be safe wherever they go? Hey, no, I want chaos. How about that? Can I just have a chaotic life? Overtake me with a bunch of non-blessings. We're not signing up for that. The Lord will cause the enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. Okay. So it's not saying everything's all ice cream and apple pie. Like, you're going to have enemies. In business, you're going to have competition. In business, the product isn't going to work right. In business, you're going to have employee challenges. In business, you're going to have global pandemics. In life, you're going to have enemies. The promise isn't that you have apple pie every day. The promise is you have blessing in the midst of a really hard season. Blessing in the midst of a really hard season. The enemies, they will march out against you from one direction, but they're going to flee from you in seven. Like, God's got this. He's got it. The Lord will grant you a blessing on your barns. Oh, so wait a minute. That's not the stuff in my house. That's not the stuff in the field. That's not the future generations. It's the harvest today. I mean, he's covering everything. The Lord will grant you a blessing on your barns and on everything you do. He will bless you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people. Now wait. You mean the mission of the kingdom is at stake in my job? Yeah. The mission of the kingdom is at stake in my day-to-day life? Yeah. Todd, you didn't give up a fruitful life when you walked off the stage. You got an even more fruitful life when you walked off the stage. He will bless you in the land your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore to you, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then, so if I believe and I follow, I get. Believe, follow, I get. Then all the peoples of the earth will see that you bear the Lord's name, and they will stand in awe of you. Like, no one, who wants people to stand in awe of them? I mean, that makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, I'm not signing up for that. I just want to get through my day. I mean, that's my goal. The Lord will make you prosper abundantly. Well, he's not going to give you a little bit and be happy with it. With offspring, the offspring of your livestock and your land's produce in the land the Lord swore to your ancestor to give you, the Lord will open up his abundant storehouse. So when you're running low, don't worry. When you're running low, the economy's hard, the competition is eating your lunch, don't worry. The Lord will open for his abundant storehouses the sky. How big's the sky? Have you stared at it? It's big. I own it. I give your land rain in its season and will bless all the work of your hand. When you're going through a drought, don't worry. I own the sky. You will lend to many nations. You're going to have an opportunity to be a blessing to a bunch of other people, but you will not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only move upward. You'll never move downward if you listen to the Lord, your God's commands I'm giving you today. And if you're careful to follow them, do not turn aside to the right or to the left from all the things I'm commanding you today, and do not follow other gods or worship them. So the kingdom of God traverses through the lives of marketplace people, and God has your marketplace in his hand. How many of you would love to have God's favor over your career? How many of you would love to have God's blessings over your family? How many of you would love to know your future was secure? How many of you would love to know that everything you did, everywhere you went, everything you had was taken care of? Have you ever lost sleep at night because you're worried about that kind of stuff not being taken care of? If you'll believe, if you'll follow. So I'm not advocating that one, when you go to work tomorrow, you walk up and down the hallways and start evangelizing. I'm not advocating go to the break room and turning into a prayer meeting. I am advocating you show up to work, be positive, work hard, be good at what you do. Those are the people I hire in my job. Young people, positive, flexible, work hard, be good at what you do. Let God take care of the kingdom ministry through that. Now, some of you are saying, Todd, I don't believe that. That seems like pie in the sky stuff. So glad Pastor Jeff has taught us this. So I'm going to use a quote from Pastor Jeff when he gets right to these moments. You know what he normally tells us? He says, that's okay. It's not my opinion. I just read the Bible. You take the challenge with the author. I'm just reading the Bible. Big question number one I don't have an answer for. Why not you? Why not me? Big question number two. What if it's true? What if that Bible passage is actually real and true? What would happen if you just prayed that passage over your family and your life and your business every day in 2024? Lord, bless me everywhere I go. Bless me in all that I do. May I believe in you like never before. May I follow you like never before. May I have faith in you as the God of the storehouses and the sky and the protector. What if every day in 2024 you prayed that over your career, over your business, over your family? What if it's really true? Last story. You ready? Last story. Let's go all the way to the end of the Bible. Zacchaeus, he entered Jericho and was passing through, meaning Jesus. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was what? He was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. He was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. Zacchaeus, he's vacation Bibles. How does he get there? Thousands of years later, you know the song. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree trying to see Jesus as he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry, come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house." So he quickly came down and he welcomed him, and all who saw it began to complain, "He's going to stay with that guy?" But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor." Day one of his faith, half of my possessions to the poor, Lord, because he was successful in business, although he got it the wrong way. We'll find out that now. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. So he's a little bit of a crook in his job. Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of who? Father Abraham. The Bible's true after all. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. So now we travel all the way to the New Testament. There is a son of Abraham who's a very successful businessman, not doing it the right way, knows he's not doing it the right way, has an ache in his life. The ache is so great. He's heard about this Jesus guy. He cannot go another day without seeing and hearing the truth for the very first time in his life. Climbs up to a tree publicly. How embarrassing must that have been? He was at the end of his marketplace ropes, and he looked down, and sometime between the top of that tree and the bottom, he said, "I'm done with that. I'm giving my marketplace life to Jesus." Gave away half of his income. So I wonder how you view your job today. Like, you're going to go to it tomorrow. I wonder how you view your job knowing this. The kingdom purposes of God traverse through the lives of marketplace people. So, those of you are saying, "Well, that was easy for Zacchaeus. He had a lot of money." Okay. Try to give away half of your stuff. Just do the percentage. He gave away half, I'm going to give away half. It's never easier for somebody else to do the right thing than it is for you and me to do the right thing. Believing is hard. Following is hard. Don't give Zacchaeus a pass. He did something hard, and you can do something hard too. Now, for all of you ladies in the audience who are saying, "Oh boy, he's only talking about Bible men today. I feel so good about this." I'm just telling my story. I could have talked about Deborah, who was this great judge in the Old Testament. I could have talked about Tabitha, who was a small business owner in the textile industry in the New Testament. I could have talked about Priscilla. There are plenty of businesswomen in the Bible whom God used. For all of you who are not Texas A&M fans, for goodness sake, on Rivalry Weekend, Todd, why are you talking about the Aggies? I get it. I understand. Seemed like the safest one to talk about other than that in South Carolina, and there's no context for a South Carolina story. So, for all of us that call GBC family, do you realize that it's our prayers, our volunteerism, our generosity that make the kingdom grow right here? Like, if you weren't there, what in the world would Mason have done this morning? What would Pastor Jeff do if we weren't here? Like, we're not watching them. They're cheering us on. And to all of our staff, let me say this. Been there, done that. Your job's hard. It's tiring. 24/7. Giving away your holiday weekends, your three-day weekends. Doing your job during the week, and then the phone rings, and you've got to shift gears and alter your day because of crisis. Hard job. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. You have no idea what it's like to sit right there on a Sunday morning and need something. Thank you. Last big question that I don't have an answer for, but you do. Why not today? Why not today? Zacchaeus didn't hang out in that tree till the crowd was gone. Zacchaeus didn't wait to get all his Bible figured out. Zacchaeus didn't wait to get it all cleaned up and then slowly, little by little, try to do a little better to make sure. No. He went all in immediately. Why not me? What if it's true? Why not today? In just a moment, I'm going to close in prayer. When I'm done praying, you may need to have a Zacchaeus moment where you need to climb down from the tree today and you just need to say, today's the day, and I just need to declare it and make it public. There'll be some people standing over here at the side that you can pray with and just share that with. No one's going to usher you on stage. We're not taking you to a side room to do some crazy stuff. Pastor Jeff tells us we don't do crazy around here. They'll pray with you, and it's for you. But let's have prayer together.